last time we ended off discussing some more contemporary authorities who objected to blanket chumras in the realm of son and puff of Mikigris. We quote Rav Avraham and Rav Avadia, who objected to people being unduly machmir for a kesem al begadim pachos mikigris, or at least pachos mi macholas bizmanenu. On the other hand, Rav Avadia quotes in page Shin of the Taras Avayis, volume 1, page 300, from the Sefer Teferis Tzvi, that there are certain instances where it would be acceptable and perhaps advisable to be poresh, at least for a limited amount of time, after seeing a kesem, even if it's a kesem that is tahor. So his context of the Teferis Tzvi is that if you have a Mara Yarok, we'll talk about shades of Maros after Yantiv, that if you have a Mara in which the Psak is that it's a Mara Tahor, and we're in principle Mekel as far as Dinei Ksamim, but nevertheless, he paskin that the woman should be Porish Vibayla for that night, because there's a concern that if there's a, even if it's a Mara Tahor now, it may precipitate other Maros Tmeos. So as a cautionary note, it would be appropriate to be parish for a limited amount of time to make sure that this isn't a preview of more problematic maros to come. Similarly, Rav Vosner writes, Shuvas Shevet Alevi Chelak Hei Simen Kuf Vav Os Beis. Shevet Alevi Chelak Hei Simen Kuf Vav Os Beis. Hei Kuf Vav Beis. That while there are maros which are maros tahoros that we're not going to be machmir mi dine ksamim, nevertheless, he writes, mikol makom kedai loshes etzel laisha lemnoa yomayim mishalosh mitashmish, that it's appropriate, it's prudent to be poorish for 2 or 3 days, as she is bar matzav until she clarifies her status. Sometimes you can have a Mara Tahor, which is going to lead in short order to Mara Tamen, and she won't realize it. So it's appropriate, rather than play with the potential Isser Kares, to, he says, be Parish for a couple days after seeing a Mara, or having a Kethem, that is Tahor Midin Eksamen. Rabbi Willer thinks that as a matter of halacha, if you see a kesem, even if it's a kesem that is tahor, even if it's a kesem pachos mikigris, so you should be parish for 24 hours after the riyas kesem, again, to make sure that it's not a portender of a more problematic riyah to come. Unless there's another tliya, unless there's a tliya bedamak or some other tliya that presents itself. But otherwise, if you see, have a kesem, even if it's a kesem that pachos mikigris does not, is not metame, but it's appropriate, and perhaps medina, to be parish for 24 hours after that riyas kesem, after that kesem, yeah.
Where did Rabbi Willig say, did he say that in Amor or Mordechai, or he said that in Besitzah?
He's said that orally.
Okay.
I think he has a line in one of the articles, maybe the article on Samim, which was originally printed in the Beis Yitzchak. Mm-hmm. But I don't know the Mar Makom.
Is Kesem anywhere, or just Al-Basara?
Well, Kesem is typically Al-Begadah. We'll talk about Al-Basara soon. Al-Basara is extremely rare. But the standard Kesem is Al-Begadah.
Is that have anything to do with the question of whether small amount of Kesem is outside the Gzera completely, or it's regularly fleeing?
No, I don't think so. It's a matter of prudence that even if it's technically speaking tahor, but it very likely may be the early stages of a ri'iyah, so it would be prudent to just take a wait and see how to do for a little while and make sure that it's not going to lead to a full-fledged ri'iyah.
So why is it that some of us are not so calm? I mean, I understand it's difficult to show it to the chacham, but
why? Because we wear clothing.
Yeah, I noticed. I mean, but so when people sleep, they don't necessarily wear underwear, so then you would have to get some muscle.
Usually people wear something when they go to sleep. So usually if there is any dab, it would appear al bigadehen, al besar. It's not...
not all sleeping garments are tight.
It's not common. Okay. So let's talk for a few minutes about pishpesh and whether pishpesh is different than a macholas. It seems that the din of pishpesh is different than the din of gris / macholas. That's what the Gemara has. What's a pishpesh? Pishpesh is probably a bed bug, as opposed to macholas, which is a louse. Apparently, even in modern Hebrew, pishpesh is a bed bug. So if you look in the Gemara Daf Chesam and Beis, the Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Nachman within the position of Chachamim. Again, Shitas Chachamim in the Mishnah and Daf Chesam and Beis, that was the extreme position in one direction, that you have the right to be tola, it sounds like even more than a gris, and even below harga. So Rav Nachman says within Shitas Chachamim that if you have a pishpesh, you could be tolin ad tormus. So you could be tola on a pishpesh, even more than a gris, up to a tormus, which is a bigger size bead. So the Beis Yosef explains, or what emerges from the Beis Yosef's explanation of this Gemara, is that at first glance it seems that Rav Nachman's statement is only within Chachamim. Within Chachamim who are theoretically more mako, even more than a gris. So when you have a pishpesh, you can be told on a pishpesh, even up to a tormis, which would be the reasonable size of dan that could be attributed to a pishpesh. However, according to Chanina ben Antignus, who limits the exclusion to a gris, then there wouldn't be any special tli ability for a pishpesh per se. Rav Nachman's only going according to Chacham. According to Chacham, you have the right to be tola pishpesh after tormis, not according to Chanina ben Antignus. However, if you look in the Rush here in Simin Vav, the Rush writes the following. Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak tola b'pishpesh ad ketormis. The halacha k'Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. And we pass like Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, the bein harga, bein lo harga, tola ad kegris. That in general, when it comes to macholas, you could be tola up to a gris, even lo harga. So lo plug rabbanim bein harga harbe lo harga ba'at. Lo olam ein a tola b'yosem mikegris. Okay. So there's an upper limit of the tliya of a gris. Then he writes, "V'afa pidein alacha k'rabbanan." Even though we don't paskin like the chachamim, we paskin like Reb Chanina ben Antignus. Miu im harga pishbeish. But if you did kill a pishbeish, im hiricha recho, if you could tell that there's a pishbeish. There, the Gemara said that a pishbeish has a distinct smell. So if im harga pishbeish, and you could tell that it's there, tola ad ketormis. So then you're allowed to be tola up to a tormis. The Havikinis Aska Viksamim. That's the regular din of Tuliyah. There's one din of Macholes Ad Kegris, that according to Chanina ben Antignos, you're allowed to be Tola, you can be Mako, any Kesem Palchus Mikigris is an absolute exclusion, it's not part of the Xeris Ksam. Fine. But beyond that, there were the standard of the Tuliyahs, the Tuliyah of Shuk Shel Tabachim, Nis Aska Viksamim. So Harga Pishpesh is the same kind of Tuliyah as Nis Aska Viksamim. If there's a reasonable explanation as to the source of the blood other than migufa, then you have the right to make that attribution. So pishpesh fits into that as well. That lehalacha, if you were horig a pishpesh, then you could be tola on the pishpesh, aval mistama lo talina bay. But as opposed to the shear gris, where even if there's no macholos, you have the right to be tola, that's not true by a pishpesh. Pishpesh absent an actual pishpesh in front of you, you have no right to be tola, mishum de lo shkiach. Because that's not the norm, that's not shkiach. So that's a standard tulia, but it's not like the regular din of gris. Okay, so pishpesh is a tulia like other tulias. If you have a pishpesh in front of you, im harga, and or hiricha, then you have the right to be tola on the pishpesh, but bistam, you don't. Okay? So even if, sounds like according to the Rosh, even if you live in a town where there are bed bugs, but if you don't have a bed bug in front of you that you noticed, you have no right to be told. Okay? And then the Beis Hillel points out that the Rashba says otherwise. He quotes the Rashba in the Torah Savayis HaKatzar on Tesvav of the Beis in the standard print. The Rashba in the Torah Savayis HaKatzar. I think he says in the Aruch as well. So he writes that Lahalacha, again, we pass on like Chanina ben Antipas, but Lahalacha, you have the right to be Tola on a Pishpesh if you're living in a place where Pishpeshes are common. It sounds like in the Rashba, even if you didn't kill one. So if you live in a place that has a prevalence of bed bugs, the Rashba seems to say, Lahalacha, you have the right to be Mako on a Kesem up to a Tormus, even if you don't have a bed bug on your bed. So it sounds like he's understanding that even according to Chanina ben Antignos, this is more than a regular tliya. This seems to be an extension of the din of Ritz, that if you're in a place with a prevalence of bed bugs, you can be tola akatormus. Now, parenthetically, if you look in the Chidushei HaRashba in Arsiga here on Inchesam and Beis, Chidushei HaRashba seems to say something even more extreme. Chidushei HaRashba, Diber Maskel Amr of Nachman, Nun Chesam and Beis Amr of Nachman writes the following, Klomar, B'chol Makom, Af al pi she'ein a pishpesh matzoi, Tolaba ad ketormis. So wherever you are, even if a pishpesh is not to be found, even if it's not a place that has pishpeshes, you're still allowed to be tola ad ketormis. Af al pi she'ushir gadol mikigris. So that sounds like you could be tola on a pishpesh even where pishpeshes are not matzoi. But there, the Rashba is presumably going within Rav Nachman, within Shitas Chachamim, and not Lahalacha. So the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis, where he says you have the right to be Tola on a Pishpesh, if you're in a place with a prevalence of bed bugs, even if you don't have a bed bug on your bed, so that's going Lahalacha within the position of Chanina ben Antignos. The Rashba's comment in the Chidushim, I believe, is going within Shitas Chachamim, but isn't necessarily Lahalacha. You can take a look there and tell me if you agree with me. I think that's Shalom the Rashba there. The Rambam and the Ramban, in their respective halachos, do not mention the din of pishpesh per se. There's no explicit reference to the din of pishpesh as distinct to macholes / gris. So if you look in the Magen Mishnah, in Perek Tes Halacha Kaf Gimel, thinks that the fact that the Rambam and the Ramban don't mention the din of bed bugs may be a function of the fact that it's difficult to, you wouldn't have a situation of harga v'lavadaita. Since bed bugs have this smell that the Gemara attributes to them, so the Rambam and Ramban may hold, in theory, or in principle, that if you have a pishpish in front of you that you killed, so then that's a standard taliyah, then you don't have to mention that halacha because there's nothing unique about the din of pishpish. And if you didn't actually, if you're not aware that you killed it, so there's no legitimate tliya that maybe you killed it, even if they're prevalent, because it's the kind of thing that you know about if you had one or if you killed one. That's the Makom Mishnah. So Lahalacha, if you look in Siv Zayin here in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, Im harga pishpesh, ohi rika recho tolavo akitormus. So if you did kill a bed bug or you smelled a bed bug, then you have the right to be tola up to a shear of a tormus. So that sounds like you only have the right to be tola if you actually killed it, and that's a standard talia distinct from the din of gris. However, if you look in the shaf over here, the shaf in Sivkat in Yin Aleph suggests that maybe even the Rush would agree that if you're in a location where there's a prevalence of bedbugs, then you have the right to be tole on a bedbug, even if lo harga. Because after all, we have an orientation of being mako when it comes to ksamim. So that's what the shach thinks, la halacha, that if you're in a place where there are many bedbugs, there's a prevalence of bedbugs, you would have the right to be tola on a bedbug up to a shear tormus, even if you didn't kill one per se. I don't know how you'd establish prevalence or what the rate of prevalence would have to be for that halacha to be relevant. The last year we were living in Washington Heights in 150 Bennett, there was a bed bug infestation in some of the apartments in that building, or right after we moved out. So and maybe then the din would have changed, at least in those apartments. Okay. Yeah.
It's sort of a historical question, I guess, but
I don't know too much about the history of bedbugs.
But my presumption is that back in like the Gemara's time, everyone had bedbugs, right?
Well, everyone had lice. That's what the Gemara says, "Ein lecha kol sadin v'sadin," but it doesn't say that about pishpishim.
Oh.
So it sounds like lice were more prevalent than bedbugs.
Okay.
Fine. So the general framework that we were working with last time is whether the exclusion of Pachas Mikigris is an absolute exclusion, that the Xera of Ksamim was never established for something Pachas Mikigris, or is it a more generic kind of Tlia B'Macholas? And the majority position seems to come out on the first side, that it's a more general exclusion carve out from the Xero Ksamen. So the one Afkamino we discussed so far, the Afkamino we had discussed earlier as well, as to what happens if you have a dam that's Vadei Migufa Bepachas Mikigris, it's a subject to Tumas Ksamen. So that was the Machlokas, the Torah Sashlamen, and the Shlam Leger, and the Siddur Tower that we've discussed already. We'll talk now about some other halachos in Dine Ksamen here that may relate to this general question as well. So what is the status of a black kesem pachos mikigris? So there's a rivid in the end of Shar HaKsamim.
Isn't it Lashon She'en L'chon? Sadim Sadim She'en Boi Kav Tibidam?
Well, it's in the context of Macholas.
Okay.
I think. Now, the Gemara introduces Pish Vishin later. So the rabbi writes in the end of Sharek Sambin that you have to be machmir on a black kesem that's pachos mikigris, presumably because a dam macholes would be red and not black, and there's no connection between, or there's no legitimate attribution of black dam to a macholes. And this is quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eger here in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, to Shulchan Aruch's If Hey. Mara Shachar Tamei Av Pachos Mikigris, quoting from the Bali Nefesh of the Raivin, that the Kula of Pachos Mikigris only applies to a red kesem, doesn't apply to a black kesem. Siddur Torah points out, both in Sifkatan Yud and a little at more length in Sifkatan Samach Aleph, Sifkatan Yud and Sifkatan Samach Aleph, that the poskim, tell you the Kiveger, the poskim don't quote this Raivid Lalacha. The Raivid doesn't appear and Shulchan Aruch doesn't appear in the classic poskim. So Siddur Tara suggests maybe that's because, or at least if you understand that the exclusion of a kesem pachas mikigris is an absolute exclusion, so then it would reasonably apply to a black kesem as well. You don't have to chesed every time you see a kesem pachas mikigris. What's the likelihood that this kesem is from a macholas? If it's an absolute exclusion, anything pachas mikigris is not subject to tumas ksamim, so that should presumably apply to a black kesem as well. So you would understand, according to that approach, why the poskim don't quote such a halacha. Siddur Tara himself, as we noted, is noted lahachmir on this, just like he was noted lahachmir on the shaila of pachos mikigris mi besara. He's noted lahachmir as well over here that practically you need some kind of legitimate taliya even for a kesem pachos mikigris. That's the Siddur Tara's personal bottom line, but he does understand where the contrary position would come from in analyzing the din of pachas mikigris. Now, Moshe points out, Yoredei Achela Gimel Simin Kuf Mem Beis Os Dalid. Yoredei Achela Gimel Simin Kuf Mem Beis Os Dalid. Gimel Kuf Mem Beis Dalid. That the Siddur Tara's personal conclusion is somewhat compromised by a comment the Siddur Tara himself makes. As the Siddur Tara himself points out, that there are sometimes paroshim, fleas, and fleas are black, and you can be tola on the fleas. So Moshe says Siddur Tara himself seems to acknowledge that if you're worried or if you're concerned, or you take the position that you have to have some legitimate tli in order to be mako on a kesem pachas mikigris, even if it's a black kesem, you can be tall on a flea, which would be a legitimate explanation as to how that black mark got on the beged. So even the Siddur Tara should agree in practice that you could be mako on a black kesem pachos mikigris. And Rav Moshe thinks that maybe even the Ravid was closer from the fact that the Ravid was in Masig on the Rambam in Yad. So that makes assumptions about how we view the Ravid's Hasagas on the Rambam, how exhaustive a list of Hasagas they are. That's a discussion not for now. But Rav Moshe says, at least as a suggestion, maybe the Ravid himself was closer to the Halacha from the fact that he wasn't Masig on the Rambam. The Hasagas were written later than the Bali Nefesh. So maybe there was a personal chazara in the Ravid as well.
Flea or a pishpesh?
Rav Moshe is talking about a parosh. A parosh is a flea. Pishpesh is a bedbug.
He's not talking about pishpesh.
Right, he's talking about paroshim, which I think are fleas. And the Aruch HaShulchan is makel as well. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Kaf Beis that the din of pachas mikigris applies equally to red kesamim and black kesamim, because there are different kinds of macholuses, or different kinds of bugs. Some of them are red, and some of them are black. He says, there's a kina harocheshes, the dama edom, and a kina hakofetzes, a jumping kina, shikarin pirosh, ubalaz, flea, which is dama shachar. So, I don't know what Laz language that is, but it sounds like flea. So you have red bugs and black bugs, and you could be tola, a black kesem, on a black bug. Now, when we talk about Maris later on, we'll see that black, the concern about black is that sometimes red can turn black. So if there is black, maybe started as red. So the assumption of this discussion regarding a Taliyah of a kesem that's black, tachas migigris, seems to be that even though when it comes to dam migufa could change from red to black, but dam macholes doesn't. So to the extent that the rivet is machmir on a kesem shachar tachas migigris, he seems to be assuming that if all dam macholes, or if all residue from a macholes is red, it wouldn't change to black, as opposed to blood migufa that could change to black. Chelik Beis Simon Samachvav has an analysis of this, which you can take a look at if you want. So again, lehalacha, many poskim are makil on a black kesem pachas mikigris. The Badi Shulchan writes in Sifkata Mem Zayin that you should be machmir in a area where you don't have bugs that would produce a black stain. So if you're in a place that doesn't have fleas or a bug that could theoretically be squashed on your clothing and produce a black stain, then you should be machmir like the Raivin and like the Rebbe Kivager. In the Sefer Chot Uzman, say another contemporary Sefer, page 70, he quotes a Maisa from the Devrit Siner, that the Devrit Siner was spending the summer in the Catskills together with the Avez Din of Papa. The Baal Mechaber Vayan Yosef of Yosef Greenwald. And the Baal Mechaber Vayan Yosef closed his Gemara one day, and when he opened it the next day, he found that he had squashed a cockroach in the Gemara, and it created a black stain on the Gemara. So apparently the Abbez and Papa then commented that in the Catskills, you have the right to be Tola a Vimeko on a Kesem Shachar Pachas Mikigris because there were bugs that could produce a black stain. So presumably, if that's true in the Catskills, that would be true in Washington Heights as well, that even the Machmirim would agree that you can be Mekel on a Kesem that's black, Pachas Mikigris. Okay. I don't know. So you have to calculate. Rabbi Ezra Schwartz pointed out to me, I think it's correct. I didn't see this in this. But we talk about the shear. We're talking about the shear yesterday, the last time, a contemporary macholis. Is presumably the shear of the stain that would be produced by crushing the bug, not the shear of the bug itself. So.
All the juices and everything else.
Right, so I don't know how you.
Not to consider those in the bug.
Yeah, okay. Another area discussed by Poskim is what is the status of a thick kesem. So you have a kesem with blood that is more than surface level. It has a certain thickness such that if the blood were to spread out, it would encompass an area that's more than a gris, but in its current state, it's less than a gris. So do we view it based on the volume of dam as it was spread out, or do we look at it in its current configuration? So the Sidri Torah talks about this as well in Sifkat and Samach Aleph, the Sifkat that we just quoted a moment ago. And he has it back and forth. He says this also should be totally on the same question as to whether there's a low plug. Do we say that it's a blanket Zera or blanket exclusion from the Gzeira, anything less than a gris is not subject to Kula Samim. So if right now it was less than a gris and it's less than a gris, it's not part of the Gzeira. Or is it a function of Taliyah? So if it's a function of Taliyah, even though at the moment it's less than a gris, but you have a volume of blood there that's more than a gris, and if you have a volume of blood that's more than a gris, then you can't reasonably be told that a Macholas, because a Macholas can't produce that much blood. So he thinks that should be dependent on the same question again. If it's an absolute exclusion, pachas mikigris. Bottom line, the gris in front of the chasm in front of you is less than a gris. if it's a function of the tliya, so you can't be tola that amount of blood on a ma'acholas. Aruch HaShulchan is makel on this. Aruch HaShulchan in Se'if Katan Lamed Dalet assumes that lo nitnu chachamim divreim d'shiurin. So you can't, there's no intention of making cheshbonos of the volume and how much blood is it. The din is that less than a gris is tahor. So if the kesem in front of you presents as less than a gris, then even if you could cheshbon that if you were to spread it out, it would be more than a gris. Bottom line, you're makel because it's less than a gris in front of you. The Aruch HaShulchan is makel on the shayla. Okay. Next issue. What is the status of a suffek in the shear? What's the case? So the Chachmas Adam talks about the following case. Chachmas Adam in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Se'if Kaftes. Simen Kuf Yud Gimel Se'if Kaftes. What's the din if a woman sees a kesem, abdigadeha, and then the bag gets lost? And there's a suffix as to whether the kesem was tachos migigris or not. So she was about to bring it to the Rav to ask the Shaila, and some of it got lost, and there's no yidiyah as to whether it was more than a gris or less than a gris. So the Chachmas Adam thinks that you could be makel because safek derabana lekula, samim halchem lahakel. The Chachmas Adam is makel. If you look in the Badei Yisholchan, Badei Yisholchan, page Kuf Nun Zayin, in the Beyurim, page Kuf Nun Zayin in the Beyurim, he says maybe it should be machmir. Because anytime there's a suffek as to whether you are able to be tola, then you don't have the right to be tola. Tliya is where I have a legitimate explanation, attribution, as to where the stam came from. But if I have if I know that I went through a shuk shel tabachim, or I know that I was nisaseh b'tzamim, then you have the right to be tola on the shuk shel tabachim, or on the aset b'tzamim. But if you don't know whether you walk through a shuk shel tabachim, and you say, well, maybe I was sleepwalking last night past the slaughterhouse, but I don't remember, so then you don't have the right to be makel, because a tliya requires an actual yediya about the source of the tliya. So here too, how can you be tola on pachas mikigris if you have no yediya, or tola on a macholos if you have no yediya as to what the shear was? To which Rabbi Karp says, page I and Zion, that what's that all based on? We assume that Pachas Mikigris is not based on a Tliya, it's based on an absolute exclusion, a low plug from the Xeros Ksamim. That's how Chazal were Kodei of the Shir for a Kesem. So then you have a regular Safek on a Din Derabbanan Ksamim, Safek Derabbanan Lekula, like the Chachmas Adam. So again, that's this issue. Do we view the din of Pachas Mikigris is some kind of a tliya even nowadays, or is it just an absolute exclusion from the Xera? Michael?
If you see that she's a whore, if she lost it, are we not afraid that maybe women will think that, oh, I could lose and I could be designated as a whore? Or do you say that if she's checking, she actually cares? And
I don't think we're concerned about that.
I'm assuming everything else is good. I mean, there's so many other issues that this is the only thing she was misubig about. We're
right.
Relying on her psak.
It's not her psak. It's
everything,
that
everything else about the kesem would have been, everything else being equal, would have been tame. It's just we didn't know the size. And then it was lost. But are there a bunch of other issues that would make it kesem tahor? Why are we picking on this issue?
Because that was the shayla that came up. But that's the case of Chachmas Adam was talking about. The suffix as to whether there's a shear or not. We're talking about the shear, that's why we're
talking about it. So if she was misupik about the other issues, then
she was she was misupik whether it was on Sivonim or not. Maybe there too. Okay.
So maybe the Baruch Shulchan is not going like the low plug of the problem of the shear. Because all of this.
That's what it sounds like, right? So just like he's machmir on the black, Kesem is machmer on this. Correct. Or the way the Divrei Malkiel says it, Lamzerav, Divrei Malkiel, Chelet Dalit Semen Samosayim, Chelet Dalit Semen Samosayim, and this Shiloh the Chachma Sadam, that you lost the Beged before you showed it to the Chacham. So that is, anyway, a Gemara of the Gemara Daf Kaf of the woman that has Nemanah to say, Kazera Yisi Vibadati, Vibadati. But in a case of Safek, so he says that the woman is Tahora, because it's a Safek Durabana, she has a Cheskes Tahara. So the Din Uksam is a Din Durabana, so it's that Safek Durabana Lakula, combined with the fact that this woman has a Cheskes Tahara. The final major issue that we'll address here is the status of a kesem al disara. So that's a major machlokas rishonim. Does this din, or the exclusion of pachas mikigris, only apply to a kesem al bigadeha, or does it apply to a kesem al disara as well? Right, to work backwards, it's 2 days in Shulchan Aruch Sifav. So first opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that the din of gris applies equally to a kesem al bisara as to a kesem al vigadeha. V'yesh omrim shelo amru ela b'kesem nimsa al chaluka. No, this din of pachas mikigris only applies to vigadeha. Aval kesem nimsa al bisara bilvad b'mkom of shachoshishim lehem ein lo shir. So this is a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid Paraktas Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes, Ma bin kesa nimsa al bisara la kesa nimsa al bigadel, sha kesa nimsa al bisara ain lo shir. That if you have a kesem on her flesh, then there's no shir. That's going to be tamei, even if it's pachos mi kigris. And the Ravid's masig, Amar Avram, ain ze mechover. He has a number of objections. Number one, Sharei, Shal Rabbi Yirmiya, Al Kesem Shebi Bisara, Tipin Tipin Mahu. So Rabbi Yirmiya, the Gemara in Chesem and Aleph, asks the Shaila, what's the din of Tipin Tipin? Vim Ein Lo Shir, Mashal. So the Ravid understood in the Shaila of Rabbi Yirmiya, it was a question of Histarfus Ashir. If you have drops of dam al bisara, are those drops misarif to a shir? So obviously, if the Gemara is asking about sirif to a shir, there's a requirement of a shir. So let's look at that Gemara. Nunches amud aleph. About 15 lines on the bottom. Bai Rav Yirmiya, even with Tosas Dira Maslam Makom. Bai Rav Yirmiya, Kishir Mahu. Kishura Mahu, Tipin Tipin Mahu, L'Rocha B'Yerecha Mahu. So Kishira Rashi says in a circle shape. Kishura we'll have to get to. Tipin Tipin. So what's the din over there? So the Ravid understood that the Shaila here is one of its starfits. If I have drops that are not contiguous and don't form a gris, but if you add up all the drops together, you have the total area of a gris, is that mitame? Yeah, so that's how the Ravid understood that. Gemara, that's the Ravid Sasag on the Rambam. If you look at the Magen Mishnah here, Magen Mishnah writes, halfway through the piece, Vein Zakusha. That shouldn't be a problem. Do Rabbi Yirmiya lav hitzarufei kadboi? Rabbi Yirmiya's shayla is not about hitzarfus. It's not about whether drops that are independently less than a gris that are not contiguous could be mitzarif to a shear gris. Elalomar, im tsurasa mochachas aleihem she'ein amigufa. Different shayla. It could be that there's no shear whatsoever al bisara. And even if you have a tipa stam kechardal al bisara, it's subject to tumas ksamen. But here, maybe tipa and tipa are better, because the fact that they're formed in a certain way, maybe that's indication that it's not migufa. De'i migufa hava lo havale lashu chinuch yagavna. That if it came from the body, so why would it be appearing in this random shape of tipin tipin? Oh, demoloshna? Or maybe not. Maybe that doesn't make a difference. So the Magen Mishnah says that the Rambam would have understood the shayla of tipin tipin, not about the sarfas lashir, but about whether the appearance of tipin tipin may be indication that it's not migufa, even though the default position is that a kesem pachos mikigris is tamei b'tumas ksamim al b'sara, because we presume that if it's al b'sara, it would have come migufa. But if there's a presentation of tipin tipin, maybe that's different. Maybe there's less of a presumption that it came migufa, because if it came migufa, it wouldn't appear that way. And that's how the Rambam would have understood Rav Yirmiyah's shaila. Now, we skipped over Keshura Mahu. Take a look at Tosfos. Dima Maskel Keshura Mahu. Omri, Dehainu Tipin Tipin. When Rav Yirmiyah asks Keshura Mahu, so Keshura means a line. So it must be, we're not asking about a straight line. We're asking about tipin tipin on a line, drops that are roughly in a line. De'i mechuberes hashira yachad, haynu ritzua de'besamach. Because if it means a straight line, well, that's the fourth question. He had four questions. Shir, shura, tipin tipin, and ritzua. So ritzua is a line. If ritzua is a line, what does shura mean? So it can't mean a straight line, that's ritzua. So it must mean a dotted line. Tipin tipin in the shape of a line. So then what's tipin tipin? The tipin tipin, hainu mu'erbavin, she'ena lo kishira v'lo kishira. So kishira is the shape of a circle. Kishura are dots in a line. And tipin tipin are dots that are haphazard. That's the shayla of Rav Yirmiyah over here. Benevta says the following kasha, v'hada amr l'kaman, tipin tipin e mitzarfin. So one second, why does Rav Yirmiyah have a shayla here about tipin tipin? Isn't that a gemara in daf nun tes amud aleph towards the end of the parak? The gemara says, an daf nun tes amud aleph, one, two, three, four, five, six lines from the bottom. Tanurab, Tashma, Kesem, Arach, Mitzarif, Tipin, Tipin, E, Mitzarfin. So there the Gemara is unequivocal, that Tipin, Tipin, E, Mitzarfin. And here, Rav Yirmiyah has a shayla. So says Tosfos, Hadik Amr Lakaman, Tipin Tipin, Amos Darfin, Hainu Allah Beged. That Gemara in the Tess is talking about Tipin Tipin Al HaBeged. So there, if you have dots that aren't contiguous, they're not mistarif through a sheer gris. The Hachamari Al Basara, and the Shalav of Yirmiyah and Daphne Ches is talking about Tipin Tipin Al Basara. Deish Yoser Litlos Bedam Acholas Ala Begad Me'al Besara, because there's a more reasonable Tliya Bedam Acholas Al HaBeged than Al Besara. Meaning, if you have a series of dots Al Begadeha, so you could be totally each of those dots on a Macholas. But if you have a series of dots Al Besara, then it's less likely to be tole those dots on a ma'acholas. Why is it less likely to be tole dots al besara on a ma'acholas than al bigadeha? So that's what the Chidush Eiran points out here on Nitzayim and Beis and others. That's the Gemara of. And the Gemara says, towards the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, Kigon She'avra B'Shulf Shel Tavachim, Al Besara Migufa Asai, Di'ime Alma Asai, Al Chalukha Mibayle, Ishtakuche. The woman's walking through a Shulf Shel Tavachim, but if she sees Dam Al Besara, even though she's walking through a Shulf Shel Tavachim, you can't be tola that dam on the shuk shel tabachim, because if the dam was from the shuk shel tabachim, it should have been on her clothing, not al besara. Like what I just said had nothing to do with the Ron, so take the Ron out of that. Okay, so that's how Tosfos understands the difference between Tipin and Dafne Tess and Dafne Ches. And Tess is talking about Al Bigadeha, and there is explicit that A Mistarfin, and the Shiloh of Yirmi and Dafin Ches is about Al Basara, where Tosfos writes there's more of a reason to be told of Adam Macholas Al Beged, me Al Basara. Okay, so we'll come back to this Tosfos shortly. If you look at the Rush, the Russian Simon Bays. Bayu Birmiya, Kishira Mahu, Kishura Mahu, Tibin Tibin Mahu, the Rokh of Erecha Mahu, Kishura Hainu Tibin Asui Kishura, that's like Tosos, Dibolo Tibin Hainu Pirtsua Darmina Besamach, Tibin Tibin Hainu Asui Mishinoi, like Tosos, Tibin Tibin means that they're haphazard. Dilafachi Lama Lila Stapi Petibin. Because if they're not haphazard, then what is the Shiloh? How is that different than Keshura? Okay, then he quotes the Rashbam, it's a different shot in Keshura. and he writes, V'hadar mina v'shili pirke and tipin tipin emistar. For instance, Tosas Kasha, how do you reconcile the Gemara in Chesem and Aleph with the Gemara in Nintesem and Aleph? Hainu al habeget. Okay, like Tosas. The Gemara in Daphne and Tess is talking about al habeget. The eagle is spooky, but called tipa v'tipa v'dama folas. Because if you have multiple drops of blood on a beged, so you could be tola each one of those on a mafolas. Aval al besara lo tulina b'dam mafolas. But if it's al besara, you can't be tola b'dam mafolas. Ella the misapkin kashir b'kashir b'kashura v'tipin tipin mishum di nafal me'osamakom lo aved nafli ki agafna. And the shaila is, because they're in this formation of drops, so maybe it's less likely that it came from Bisara because it's in that formation and has that presentation.
This is what he was referring to previously, Shinoi?
I'm sorry?
This is what he was referring to when Shinoi, and Suin Bishinoi?
Yeah. Bishinoi is supposed to Bishua where they're straight. Shinoi means they're haphazard, they're not straight. They're orb of them, as Tosa said. So the Beis Yosef says the rush here sounds like the Shitas HaRambam. That in principle, you can't, there's no din of, or there's no exclusion of Pachas Miki Gris al Basara. Because what's the Rush's analysis here? The whole Shaila of Yirmiya is, do we assume, or do we have the right to assume that it's not Migufa? Right? But if it was Migufa, so then even Pachas Miki Gris would be Tomei. The whole Shiloh Tipin is, do we assume that because it's a different formation, because they're dots, then maybe it's not Mi Gufa. But if it was Mi Gufa, then even Pachas Mi Gris would be Tommy. The issue isn't the Shear. That's what the Beis Yosef points out, but that's a Rush, that the Rush is like the Rambam. What about Tosos? The Tosos and the Rush gave similar answers, but Tosos had a slightly different formulation. Tosos said, Yoser V'hachamari al-Bisara D'yesh Yoser litlos b'dal macholes ala beged me'al-Bisara. So there's more of a reason to be tole b'dal macholes ala beged me'al-Bisara. But could you ever be tola b'dam acholas al basara? So the Divrei Chamudos here in Os Tesvav, the Divrei Chamudos on the Rush, thing said yes. That Tosas is contrasting b'gadah and basara here in the context of Tipit. It's hard to be tola a... it's hard to be tola a kesem al besara an a macholes. It's harder, and it's impossible to be tola if I have multiple dots. If I tipin tipin, so then I have to be tola multiple dots, a multiple macholes is al besara. That's highly unlikely. But if I only had one dot al besara, so maybe you could be tola that an a macholes. Right, Tosa doesn't say it's impossible to be tola a kesem al basar v'dam acholas. He says it's more difficult. So maybe it's more difficult in this case where I have tipin tipin, but if I only had a single dot, perhaps you could be tola an acholas even al basara, and there, if it's less than a gris, you could be mekel. That's what the Divrei Chamudos thinks for Das Tosfos. And the Shach argues. The Shach here in Sifkata Yud assumes that Tosfos is like the Rosh and the Rambam, and I guess puts less stock in that formulation of Yoser. And the Shach doesn't explain, he just puts Tosfos in that camp, listing the Shitos, that there's no din of Pachas Mikigris al Bisara. Okay, so let's call that a machlok, it's a divrei chamudas in the Shach b'das haTosfos. Is Tosfos exactly like the Rosh, or is there more significance to that formulation of Yesh Yoser Litlos v'dam acholos ala beged me'al Bisara? So the Shach himself is Machmir l'halacha. The Mechaber presents this as a Stam v'yeshomer. The Mechaber presents the position that there's no difference between the Sara and Gufa, the position of the Raivin, for example, as the Stam. And then he quotes the Rambam as the Yeshomer. So usually, Klali Yapsak and the Mechaber, Stam v'yeshomer, Malacha k'Stam. But the Shach himself, Paskins like the Rambam. And again, the Shach thinks that Tosfos is in his camp as well. If you look in the Siddurei Torah Sifkat in Yud Beis, the Siddurei Torah takes issue with the Shach's understanding of Tosfos. And the Torah HaShlamim here is called like on the Shach Lalach. The Torah HaShlamim Sifkat in Tess assumes that the Iker is like the first Ayah, that we're Megal and Akas and Pachas Mikigris al Bisara as well. So writes Rav Moshe in Ozayin of the Chuvos to Rabbi Eider that the minig is to be makel on the shayla of a kesem pachas mikigris al bisara. So writes Rav Avadya, pages Shin Ayin He to Shin Ayin Zayin, Shin Ayin He to Shin Ayin Zayin, and so writes Rabbi Karp b'shem Rav Yashiv, Mishmeres Satara. Page Ayin Beis, Mishmeres HaTorah, page Ayin Beis. Siddurei Torah seems to, Siddurei Torah seems to think that this also may relate to our general Chakira. That if there's a absolute exclusion of Pachas Mikigris, so why should that exclusion only have applied to Begadeh as opposed to Bisara? If Chazal excluded Pachas Mikigris from the Gzeres Ksamim, so that should have been an across-the-board exclusion that applies to Bisara as well. That's the Siddurei Torah's assumption. Yeah?
If they're Mekel, why?
Rav Avadya is Mekel, Rav Yashiv is Mekel. Now the Aruch HaShulchan is an interesting... The Aruch HaShulchan is Machmir on this. He thinks like the Rambam. He has an interesting Raya, just from the Seder HaMishnah. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siv Kavtes, Os Kavtes, the first HaMishnah has a din of Roa Kesem al Bisara. And then the Mishnah has the din of Ras al Chalukah. So first you have the din of Kesem al Bisara. Then you have the din of Kesem on her clothing. And then on Nun Kesem Beis, you have Tola b'chol davar she'yichol litlos. And then you have the din of Pachas Mikigris. So he thinks that the juxtaposition or the Seder HaDinim here implies that that din of Pachas Mikigris is only going on the more recent halacha of Al Begadeha and not on the earlier halacha of Al Besar. And he also thinks that it must be the Rambam's correct, because if you needed to be Mishaer a Kesem Al Besara to figure out if it's less than a gris, then how are you ever going to paskin on that shaila? Doesn't understand. Kesem al begadeha. You can bring the baga to the rav, and he can measure whether it's a gris or not. Kesem al besara. So you're not going to bring that to the rav. So it must be that she has to measure it. And where do you ever find that we give women license to measure things? Maybe he'll say that she'll measure it and bring her results to the Chacham. So then Chazal should have said so. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's Raya. It must be that the Rambam's correct.
No precedent in Chazal of how to handle people evaluating shearing.
I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily the most compelling raya. So she would measure it, and it doesn't take. Women have them on us for these things. Again, practically speaking, shailas of kigris al basara are extremely rare. I just asked Rabbi Sobolowski on my way up before how many times he's had a shayla of a kesem al besara. He said maybe two or three times. It's not a common occurrence.
So that's from the rabbinic end.
That's from the rabbinic end. Yes.
Not necessarily see this. I mean, I was a woman.
If you were a God fearing woman who's concerned about halacha, so then if you had a shayla, yes, a shayla. As Aruch HaShulchan says, you wouldn't. Show it to the Rav, but you figure out how to measure it.
Are they women advised to wear, like, always, you know, when they expect something, to take a garment that would catch it? Or is it advised that way?
Yeah, we talk about some, and we're talking about at a time that you're not expecting anything. Often. Okay, I'm going to try to finish up. I just want to turn our attention for a few moments to Sif Ches and Sif Tes, just to have a full picture of how this didn't present in Shulchan Aruch. So Mechab writes in Sif Ches, Im ein bekesem b'makam echa kegris v'od. So if I don't have a concentrated shear, af api sheyesham tipin harbe smuchim zeh lezeh, even though there are multiple dots, such that if you were to add them all together, you would have a gris, tahora. Shanu tolin kol tipa v'tipa v'kina, ashe yavoki gris v'od b'makam echad. So that's the Gemara in Daf Nuntes, that tipin tipin ein mitzarfim. V'yesh omrim dahani mili kishenimsu al chaluka. Yesh Omrim, that's only if you have the tipin on her garment. Aval in nimsu al bisara, mitzar from the kegris v'ot. But if you have tipin al bisara, the tipin al bisara are mitzarif. Look at the shakers of Katin Yugimel. Kasab Lavush, Vinir Li, Afilu Lisvar, Rishona Dilael, Vizet Pashit. So this Yesh Omrim, says Lavush, is even according to the opinion that there is a sheer gris al Bisara, even according to that opinion, Tipin Tipin are Misarif al Bisara. even if you hold in general, there is a shear gris al basara, but as opposed to al begedara, tipin tipin are not mistaref, al basara, tipin tipin are mistaref. Even according to the Raivith Shita, that in general a Kesem Pachas Migris Al Basara is Tahor, we still would say that Tipin Tipin Al Basara are Mitzarev to a Shia Gris.
That is the Shia is the Raivith.
One second. Well, it's not the Raivit, because the Raivit didn't say that.
Over here, the issue over here is the Raivit, no?
What do you mean?
The start from the Basar to give you a share, the Chumra is the
Raivit. Well, maybe not the Raivit himself, but that Shita, that there is a Shir Gris Al Bisara, even if you subscribe to that Shita, but Tipin Tipin are still Mitzarif. And then the Shach says, against Lavush, nearly Dafka Lassar Rishonim. It's not that this Yeshavim is true even according to the first opinion, it's only true according to the first opinion. Aval Asfar Achrona, Belit Sirif Tumei Bakolshu. According to the Rambam, it's true anyway, you don't have to grant the Sirif. It's going to be Tumei anyway. So this whole Yeshavim is only relevant according to the first position in Sifav. So maybe not. So the issue is Yaakov explains. That maybe there's a chiddush even according to the Rambam. Maybe you would have said, along the lines of what we saw in Tosafot and some of the other Rishonim, that if it's tipin tipin, there's more of an explanation that it can be gufa. If it's a funny formation, if it's not a standard appearance, so then maybe, as the Magen Mishnah said also, maybe there's more of a svara that it can be gufa. So maybe it's a kiddush even according to the Rambam's position. That's what you could say to explain the Lavush. But the Shach is saying no. The Shach is saying that this whole Yeshom is only relevant according to the first sheet in Sifav. According to the second sheet, this Pasha, that any Kolshu is Tamei anyway, there's no Hitzarfus to speak of. Rav Avadia writes that you should assume like the Yesh Omim here in Sif Ches, that Tipin Tipin Ar Mitzarif Al Bisara, even if in general you do require a gris for Bisara, and he quotes Makoros that the principle of Psak and the Mechaber, that Stam Yeshem Alach Kistam, doesn't apply in this kind of a situation, because here the Yesh Omrim, as the Shach says, is going back on the Stam in the previous Sif. So this is a more convoluted Stam Yesh Omrim, because this Yesh Omrim is basically going back to explain the previous position that was quoted to Stam. So it's not a Stam Yesh Omrim in a vacuum, it's a complex Stam Yesh Omrim, and here you would assume like this Yesh Omrim, which is modified the previous Stam.
Which is Vav?
Which is Vav, right. Rabbi Soloski told me he wants out a shayla of tipin al bisara, and his muskal rishon was you have to be mafmir because we assume like this yesh omim here lalacha. And he said when he talked to Rabbi Willig about it, Rabbi Willig pointed out that Rav Avadya there, in the piece that we just referenced, quotes a Rashba in the Taras Abayis Hakatsar. In the beginning of Dine Ksamer, Rav Avadya quotes a few other Marmer Kamos along these lines as well. But the Lashon of the Rashba in Torah Sabayis HaKatz, the beginning of Bayis Shvi'i Shar Dalid, is that this din of Tipin applies when it's Nibs of Tipin Smuchim Zelazem, where they're next to each other. What does next to each other mean? The some person discuss what if you have some on one leg and some on another leg. That's presumably definitely not next to each other. That's the machlokes among contemporary poskim. But Rabbi Willig thought if some of it's on one side of the leg, some of it's on the other side of the leg, that's also not smuchim. So based on this Rashba, even if you had in that case tipin. That between both sides of the leg would be mitzarif to shear. If on either side the tipin are not a shear, then you could be mekel. This is Rabbi Akiva Eger to Sif Yud. So the starting point for this is about Sivonim, which we'll get to, but he also has an application to Pachos Mika Gris. And this is how we generally assume. But let's say you have. So al begadeha tipin are not besarf. But let's say you have a kesem, and in that kesem, part of the kesem is a maritame, and part of the kesem is maritavar. So you have some red, and you have some shades that are fine. So if there is a total of a gris of a problematic mara in that kesem, even if it's not contiguous, but you have other shades that break it up, that still is misarif to a shir. That's what Kivega writes over here in the Chidusha of Kivega to Sifyot, and that's how Poskim generally assume that if you have less than a gris that's not contiguous at all, then there's no tzirif. But if you have less than a gris and less than a gris that are joined by a Mara Tahor, but it's all part of the same Kesem, then Kivega says you have to be machmir on that.
Because the mice you have.
But you have the mice, you have a kesem with a shear gris. Right. Right. Good. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone should have Gemar Chasima Tova. We'll pick up Mirz Hashem after Sukkis with Eina Makabel Tuma. I sent you some initial Marmel Kamos on that, if you want to take a look at that tomorrow. Let's talk about it. Turn off.